Welcome to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church, a place of spiritual cultivating, loving care, and creating great commissioning experiences. And now, an anointed word from Pastor Norman E. Curley.
Going to be focusing on the Christian family, the Christian home. Our theme throughout these series of teaching is simply going to be home sweet home, making reference to the fragrance and the favor of God that fill the home of the believers, of the household of believers. Now, this expression, home sweet home, is often written on plaques and placed on walls or tables within the home of those that are of a certain age. If like that commercial where the gentleman is trying to get those individuals to not be like their parents in the manner of how they approach matters in life. Well, when it comes to the Word of God, we want to continue to model that. And if our parents model that in raising us, we want to be able to have that same kind of model or standard being exercised in our home. However, when we look through the lens of God's Word, the Christian home should be a place where the peace and promises of God are present because of the standards and submission to God's Word that is being honored within that particular home environment. This is not to suggest that this type of home, the Christian home, is a trial-free or trouble-free environment. However, regardless of the internal experiences within the Christian home, God is the source of that home, and He supplies the strength to those who honor Him within that household so that His name can be glorified within the home. We will begin our journey concerning home sweet home, the fragrance and favor of God filling the household, by responding to the faith challenge in which Joshua, God's servant leader, provides to God's people when God called Joshua to lead them into that promised inheritance. And now Joshua has them at a place where they are renewing their commitment to following God. So take your Bibles and turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. Just to give you some background, after Moses dies, Joshua leads the people in conquest and gets them into the established land that God had promised them. As his death approaches, Joshua calls Israel together once again, and he gives them what I am calling a faith challenge. This challenge is personal in nature, in that each household has to decide how they will honor God within their homes or within their families. Joshua was concerned lest the people lapse into idolatry because of the influence of the heathen nations around them. And when we study the history of Israel, we know that God's people was prone to worship idols. And Joshua knew that idolatry would cause them to forfeit their inheritance of blessing from God, because he knew that God was a jealous God. He was not going to share his covenant people with those idol gods. This faith challenge is spelled out in Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15. And even though the setting of the situation may be different in the sense of a Christian home, but we know that the application can be used in the context of the home of those who honor God or who are in covenant with God. So in Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15, listen to this faith challenge. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This renewing of their relationship and commitment to honoring God's covenant with them would begin at home or within their household or families. However, prior to this faith challenge, Joshua provides reasons why they should let God rule in their home. Why should they honor God within their home? Is this because of God's faithfulness and goodness in past times. If you look up in the context of the text that I just read, it begins in verse number 1 of chapter 24. In verse 1, Joshua presents this case before Israel by calling them to a place that had faith memories with God's people. Shechem is a dear and precious place in the heart of Israel, God's people, because it was at Shechem that God first promised the land to Abraham and his descendants. We see that in Genesis 12, 6 and 7. It reads like this. Abram passed through the land, and as far as the site of Shechem to the oak of Morah, now the Canaanite was then in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants, I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. And so as Joshua bring them into this strategic geographical location, he knows exactly what he's doing. They are, in a sense, standing on holy ground, ground in which God had made a promise to Abraham. It was also here at Shechem that Jacob built an altar to God as the God of Israel. We see that in Genesis 33, 18 through 20. It reads like this. Now Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan. When he came from Padan Aram and camped before the city, he bought the piece of land where he had pitched his tent from the hand of the sons of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. Then he erected there an altar and called it El Elohi Israel. So here again, we see that in this location that Joshua is gathering all the leadership of Israel in order to prepare them to make this faith challenge, he is placing them in an area where that they should be able to remember God's faithfulness and goodness in time past. And Psalms 107, verse 1 and 2a says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story." Israel should realize that in Shechem, we have a story. We have a record. We have memories of God's faithfulness and God's goodness. We who have been walking with God after placing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can identify with many faith memory moments along our life journey, times and places where God spoke a word that came just in time to encourage our faith while we could have been experiencing the fiery trials of life. We remember those moments. Some of us remember the moment we first came into the knowledge of God's saving grace and we gave our life to Christ. Some of us remember the moments where we renewed our relationship or our covenant commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. We all have precious memories and precious moments in our life that we can look back and see where God proved faithful in our behalf. Not because we did anything to deserve it, not because we earned it, but because of his goodness and mercies. I like the way David and Joseph both give testimony to that. In Psalms 119, 67 and 68, for David, it went like this. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word, you are good and do good. In other words, in the midst of David's affliction, David learned how faithful and how good God was. We know what happened to Joseph, how his family worked such wickedness and evil because of jealousy toward him, even tried to end his life. But when God is for you, can't nobody be against you. And at the end of the day, when Joseph told his story in Genesis 50 and 20, it reads like this. He said to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good." In other words, God caused all things to work out for my good. And so Joshua is strategically bringing Israel to a point now where they should be able to look back in the past and see the faithfulness and the goodness of God. He works from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. He's going through their ancestry line to show how faithful God has been, how God brought them out of bondage, how God opened that Red Sea supernaturally. Listen, when we reflect on what God has done in the past, it will give us fuel to have faith and faithfulness in the future. Those are great memories to reflect on. Sometimes people, they let their mind go down in the gutter. They go down into memories of negative things and things that bring depression and bring sorrow. They go into that river. But I want to encourage you, get out of that river. Go into the river of life. Reflect on those things, those moments in your life journey since you've been walking with Christ. And if you're newly in the Lord, you are developing a track record that's going to reveal how faithful God is in your life. Therefore, don't get discouraged. Don't turn back. Don't think, well, you know, I can't live this Christian life. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're just going to have to make sure you're on the right diet. That means you're in a teaching ministry where you're growing in Christ. You're being discipled in the things of God. And you're going to be like Peter. After you have gotten up, after you have returned, you're going to go and you're going to strengthen someone else. You're going to go and do what somebody did for you. You're going to be merciful. You're going to be prayerful. You're going to intercede for somebody just like somebody did with you until you got to a place where you got strong enough in your faith where you were able to raise up the standard of righteousness and honor God's word in your life. So that's what he does. He let them know because of God's goodness and faithfulness in the past, that should be ruling in your heart when you get ready to respond to this faith challenge. The other thing I notice is this. It is because of God's provision and protection in past time. Now let's pick up at verse 8. He continues to go down the record to prove to God's people how faithful God has been in the past. In verse 8, he said, "I brought you into the land of the Amorites and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought with you. But I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Therefore, he continued to bless you." Listen to verse 13. "I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant." Joshua is reminding them of God's provision and protection in time past. God protected them even from nations and the divination of evil spirits in order to get them into their promised inheritance. They didn't realize that Balak had hired Balaam, the witch doctor, hallelujah, to put a curse on them, and didn't realize that God was working behind the scene in their behalf. And those demonic spirits could not come and bring havoc in God's covenant people life. Why? Because God's protection was on their life. And we should rejoice today, because I'm telling you, your enemies and your foes, they desire to see harm come upon you. They don't want to see you blessed, but they don't determine your blessing. Your blessings are determined by your relationship with God, your faithfulness to God, life and how you honor God's word in your life. The Bible declares that God will not withhold no good thing from those who walk upright. If you honor God, God's going to honor you. I'm telling you, when you're in the kingdom of God, you're in the kingdom of favor, you're in the kingdom of divine protection, and therefore you do not fear what man can do unto you. You see, God's faithfulness will position you in life with such favor and blessings that you have no natural justification to provide the gossipers and those who have a jealous eye toward you. Or the only thing you can tell them is that God did it and I am glorifying him in it. And God made that clear to Israel in verse 12b, but not with your sword or with your bow. In other words, I'm giving you victories that you don't even have to fight in. You talking about the Lord fighting your battles? You talking about the Lord warring in your behalf? All because what? Because you are walking in covenant with him. I like the old hymn that said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and what he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, I thank God for saving me. Oh man, that ought to be a shout right there. I call it a salvation shout. Have you ever had a salvation shout in church? And when you start thinking about how God's grace came in your life and how you became a born again person and God put his peace on the inside of your heart and let you know that you are all right now. People that told you was all right prior to that, but you wasn't all right. You got all right when God